Welcome to the Smuggler's Den.
You will never find a more wretched hive of scum and villainy. We must be cautious.
Brought to you by Game Empire Pasadena, a great friendly atmosphere for playing a wide variety of games and for purchasing all of your gaming needs. Check them out online at GameEmpirePasadena.com. Welcome to the 23rd edition of the Smuggler's Den. I'm your one and only host, Tiny Grimes.
And I'm your one and only other host, Ben...
Tully.
Said that.
Oh, okay. Just...
As you may notice right now, before I even go any further, we're doing this live today. We do not have time, as tomorrow both Tiny and I are leaving for Minnesota to take part in the World Championship event for both Star Wars and Game of Thrones. There is no editing of today's podcast. So
Whoa, wait, back up.
Please don't hate us for this.
Back up.
It's all Tiny's fault.
You're playing in Star Wars? I thought we agreed to play in Warhammer instead.
Well, I mean, we're not Neil.
Oh, okay. I just wanted to be sure, because I thought we were all doing Warhammer. Like, we were all going to buy a core set and just go dominate Warhammer without knowing how to play and only having one core set.
And having one core set.
Right, can I do that?
That is not part of my plan. It could be your plan. I feel like you should do that. If that's what you feel like, if you feel like that's what you should do that, Tiny.
Okay. Call right. Cthulhu? Can I get you in on Call of Cthulhu?
I believe... I'm not going to say that because you can't edit this out.
Yes, it is a dangerous day. Usually there is mass editing of all of Ben's cursing. Today, he just has to bite his tongue somehow. I don't know how he's going to do it.
Yeah, I'll try my best. There's going to be a lot of, like, first thing that we're going to talk about today is that type of segues. With that, please be sure to check us out at our various online presences. You can email the podcast at smugglersdenpodcast@gmail.com. You can check us out on Facebook, which I think is very important for you to do because we will be trying our best to keep the Facebook page up to date with results as they happen on Thursday and Friday, as well as every so often, very infrequently. I don't even know why I point this out then anymore except to just shamelessly promote Tiny. You can sometimes watch Tiny stream games of Star Wars at twitch.tv/TinyGrimes.
Also, I'm planning to use Twitter to... If I just have a second after games to say win or lost, I have a Twitter account, Tiny Grimes Games. You can check that out during the weekend. Hopefully I'll be able to do updates to that regularly. Now, one other thing we're hoping to do at the center is our buddy Neil, the real deal, is going to be bringing his sound equipment. And we're hoping to get on-site interviews, talk to people. Really, we're going to try to talk to as many people as we can. So if you see us at the event, come up to us and tell us you want us to interview you. If you came from a long distance, if you're new to the game, whatever, we'd like to get the point of view of a number of different people. And if the unthinkable happens and Ben doesn't win the championship, we will also try to interview the person who wins it live on site.
Oh, that's so nice, Tiny. Well, we'll also do it if you don't win the championship.
Oh, okay. Sounds good.
With that said, we might have to take a cooling off period.
Yeah,
especially if the winner has a bad beat on one of us in some point of the tournament and we're like, well, screw that guy, I hope he doesn't win. Oh, he won. Okay, well, I guess we should probably put on our professional face and go ask him how his terrible deck seemed to win somehow.
Yes, that's a good way to phrase an interview to start it. Congratulations.
I guess you just got lucky the whole time.
So, yes, but it should be fun. We're looking forward to it. We're looking forward to having communication with our fans and our friends during...
Even people from FFG. I mean, I have some high hopes. I feel like last year, the guys, the two Champs One Chump guys who do a Game of Thrones podcast, they got some interaction with the game developers and designers for Game of Thrones. So I'm hoping, you know, even if it's just casual, hey, how's the weekend going?
We can have
some of that.
Are you saying we might finally get our interview with Nate French through
there is no way that is going to happen. That was just malarkey from the beginning.
That's not true. We still don't know. I haven't heard either way. Like, it's not going to happen. It's just a ball that is in the air that has just hung there somehow, defying all gravity.
I was going to say, can you even see the ball? Does it just get thrown into space?
I think it's floating in space somewhere, but it could come crashing down Earth at any moment and surprise us.
Sure. I guess so.
Like a moon crashing on Chewbacca's head.
Wow.
I don't know. That's what you told me.
You should yell spoilers before you say things like that.
Wow. How is that a spoiler? That's something you made up.
It's not
you can't
so.
Make up spoilers, Ben. Doesn't work like that.
Right. And on that note, we want to just clarify a couple things about what is going to happen in terms of the Smuggler's Den at the Worlds, at FFG, at the Game Center. Tiny and I and the rest of the SoCal meta will be rolling in to set up and kind of get a feel for things around lunchtime on Thursday. The event obviously starts at 3 o'clock Central Time. I don't even know what that is. Is that somewhere between East Coast and West Coast time? I don't even.
Yes. Yes, it is.
Okay. That's good. Cool. Good to know. made up time zone that they have there. The event obviously starts at 3 o'clock Central Time. We know that there's going to be an hour break after the first three rounds. After the number of rounds complete, so we know there's somewhere between probably going to be 5 and 6, I think they're assuming. There's going to be an announcement of who makes the top 16, and the top 16 does not happen until Friday morning.
That's going to be dramatic. That's going to be really interesting, because if you make that cut, it's basically going back to your room, thinking about matchups. I'll probably take out every pod in the game and try to re-memorize them all just in case there was some I had forgotten and be a total psycho about it. Ben will probably go out and have some beverages. But either way, it's going to be interesting having the finals the next day. I kind of like it and I kind of don't like it.
It's not going to go to like 3 a.m.
Yeah, that's the problem. You can't really do it that night. Yeah. So it's going to make it kind of stressful, though, in that, like, I'm not going to sleep that well anyway if I'm getting up early the next day to play in an event and I've been all juiced up all night. It's not like I'm just going to be able to be like, all right, it's 2 a.m., time to go right to sleep so I can get up at 10. Like, that's not going to happen anyway.
I think you have the timings all wrong there.
That might be.
I think we can expect to see the tournament officially over sometime between 10 and 11. Especially without having to do the cut. And then we have to be, if you make the top 16, you have to be there at 8:30 the next morning.
Whoa, what did you just say?
It's 8:30 to be there the next morning. It starts at 9.
And did they not know their audience that they're working with here? What's going on with that?
I don't know what to tell you.
Do they think we're all coal miners or something?
Something like that. So that's the Star Wars event kind of summarized. Tiny and I are also going to do semi-official and official fan meetups. So we're going to try and do something on Friday. We have no details. I have no idea personally what is in the immediate vicinity near the game center, like in terms of restaurants or bars or places that serve alcohol illegally or whatever there might be. I just don't have any idea. So we're going to continually update the Facebook page. There'll be something on Friday, which will be probably much lower in the Game of Thrones Joust, as well as many of the other members of our meta playing in the 2v2 Star Wars tournament. But Saturday, Tiny, do you have any games plans to play on Sunday?
Recovery. Sunday's recovery.
I just feel like Saturday night is going to go off the chain.
Sunday may be Saturday night extended.
Right. I mean, I have this. I haven't had a chance to sit at a bar and watch football all day since the season started, and I really think I could maybe try and pull that off on Sunday, continuing from Saturday's evening events.
Yeah, Saturday night is going to be fun. So wherever we're at Saturday, we'll make sure we let everyone know. Hopefully, we'll see a bunch of people. Since this is live, and I'm not going to be editing this, I just want to apologize now. Ben did cut out a couple times there. Hopefully you were able to ascertain what he was trying to say there.
My bad. I'm working on the wireless at work, which is not that consistent.
That's all right, Ben. We forgive you.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I hope the fans can forgive me.
Shall we move on to predictions, Ben?
Yes, let's move on to predictions quickly before we chatter anymore.
All right, my first prediction is both of us will not make the top 16.
If I was a betting man, I would definitely agree with that.
Yeah, it's just
I really hope that's not the case.
It's just tough. We were talking about this before. With the way the scoring system works, it's so swingy that, you know, if you do pretty well and then in the last two rounds you get 8-0'd or you go 4-4 and someone 8-0's someone who's not very good, it's very easy to have people vault ahead of you. And it's just a really swingy scoring system. I was hoping against hope that it would be fixed before Worlds. They decided to go with the same system because apparently it was so successful at Gen Con, even though everyone complained who was at Gen Con. So I'm definitely worried about the scoring system.
Gen Con. You needed to essentially have 28 points to be considered to be part of the top 16 there. So that was five rounds, 100 people. I think part of my predictions is that we'll actually probably see less people in Minnesota in November for Worlds for Star Wars than we did for Gen Con. But I don't know. I mean, there seems to be, I think the last count, there was some count that was happening on Card Game DB. There was approximately 26 people who had said they were going to be there from those forums alone. But I mean, I would also guess that most of the people who visit that forum would probably be the most dedicated players for the game, right? So it's probably taking a very terrible poll, right? It's like, hey, let's ask the most dedicated players of the game if they're going to go to the big event for the year, as opposed to maybe polling some other board where just general people were watching and looking at it. But it did seem like there were, you know, had just picked up the game. They're like, I live in Minnesota. I'm going to come play, or I live close by. I'm going to come play. I just started the game last month, as well as also other big kind of named groups, including the top tier gaming guys. They're all going to be there. So I forget where I started on this point.
I think there's a large contingency in Minnesota that plays the game anyway. So I think it's going to be a big turnout. I'm not going to say bigger or smaller than Gen Con. If Gen Con hadn't been 100, I would have said definitely bigger. But 100's a big number.
Yeah.
I hope it's at least close to that, if not bigger. But I guess we'll see when we get there.
I remember why I got on that tangent right there. That long
good.
Stream of conscious thought. We were talking about the points required to make the top 16.
Yep.
Right. And so the breakdown of the points, you need 28. You need 28 and higher than a strength of schedule of 104 to make the cut at Gen Con. And so that, you know, that seems doable. I mean, I've been thinking about what that means in terms of what you would have to go at the event. So that's like an 8-0, an 8-0, so that gives you 16. Two fives would give you 26. And then as long as you had a 4 in there, that would put you at 30. So that would give you enough. So if you go 8-0, 8-0, 5, 5, 4, that's pretty good.
That's a good day.
That's a pretty good day. I just think it's one of those things where, like, you know, if you think about what that means, it means you had two stellar matches where all the games went in your favor, right? Where you won both light side and dark side twice, right? And then you would have one where, like, you had a pretty good matchup against somebody and one of your decks did well and one of their decks did well, but yours just did slightly better and you won the tie. And then one where, you know, maybe you both did well, but you didn't win the tie. I mean, that's a lot of, like, ifs and buts right there, right? Like, I mean, like, yeah. If their deck does okay and my deck doesn't do okay and I...
Yeah, and what we're not mentioning there is if you get 0-8'd even one time, you're in serious trouble at that point. I don't think you can afford to take even one 0-8, even in the late rounds. I think we saw people got bounced last year who did really well.
Well, if you go 4 8-0s in a row and then get 0-8'd,
sure,
you could do that way.
Yeah, if you can be the very top seed and then go 0-8. But I just mean, like, you have a good day. You go 8-0, 8-0, 5-4, 5-4. So you've won all four of your matches, two of them by a convincing margin. Then 0-8, whoop, you're out.
Yeah, that would be a sad way to exit.
Yeah, but. Well, we won't dwell on that now. Hopefully between our playgroup, we'll stick two in the top 16. That's my hope, and hopefully...
That's a very conservative and hopeful way of thinking about it, Tiny.
Yeah. I mean, it's just... It's with Game of Thrones, I feel like you can chalk in the top 16 because you know the top 16 players, and they make the top 16 because that's how the game works. I feel like Star Wars has a higher percentage of luck involved, and then with the crazy scoring system on top of it, I'm just not convinced you'll always get the top 16 players in the top 16. That's not me claiming I should make the top 16. It's just me saying, just generally speaking, I'm not entirely confident all the top 16 will be the top 16 players. But I am hopeful that it will be the case.
Yeah, it's just such a funny thing with the way the scoring works out. So, you know, hopefully, you know, at the end, luck plays into it, but hopefully consistent decks win, but sometimes consistent decks don't win. It's just one of those huge things, and I do hope that a lot of the people who make the top 16 are very strong in their play, and I get to play a bunch of them and see how strong decks and strong players work. That's really kind of what I'm hoping for. Like, I'm hoping that we get there, and if we don't win, hoping that we learn why we didn't win, and then it's very clear. It's like, oh, we didn't win because X, Y, and Z. Not like, oh, we didn't win because we're not sure why.
Yeah, I agree. I think I already have a pretty good idea of why I wouldn't win, but I'm not going to spoil it here. We're going to have to see afterwards. But what I do want to talk about now are some actual predictions. I'm going to make another prediction. I think a sleuth deck will make the top 16. What do you think, Ben? Do you think one is going to make it or not?
Yeah, I think it's possible. I mean, sleuths to me kind of are one-trick ponies, right? And so if you look at some of the popular dark side decks that are out there and assume that just because they're fairly reliant in their win condition on big units doesn't necessarily mean they don't have enough small units to take care of it, right? And at this point, you know, it's fairly obvious, right, when a sleuth deck is firing. And if it's firing on all cylinders, it's very obvious as to what it's doing, right? Like, if it has the objectives placed that you need, so if you have raised the stakes or across the NOAT sector, you know, you're going to have it's just telling your opponent what they need to do. They're like, oh, this first turn, I'm not going to play Holocron Palpatine. I'm going to go Stormtrooper, Bodyguard. Like, that's fine. Like, they already have the solutions there right there. So,
yeah, but you just said something. If it's firing on all cylinders, there's oftentimes not much you can do.
I don't know about that. I mean, that's when you change up your play. That's when you don't play Palpatine.
Sure. But I just feel like there's going to be one that sneaks in. A good player is going to run it.
Sure.
It's the field. But I don't think one will win it. I think it'll just sneak into the top 16.
Yeah, I can see that happening. That seems about right.
So here's a more difficult prediction. How many scum decks do you think will make the top 16? And by that I mean primarily scum.
Not just one scum objective in there.
Right, not just like
Bib Fortuna is part of the...
Exactly.
So here's a question. Would you have called you wouldn't have called your Sith Visions deck a scum deck?
No, that was a Sith deck that had in it spice visions to make guys like Palpatine and Vader really good.
Sure. Okay, so if I was to say that, I would probably say zero would make the top 16.
I am again going to say at least one will make it. And again, I don't think it'll go to the top four even, but I think there's going to be someone who comes up with a cool build that will surprise a lot of people who won't know how to handle it, and they'll get a bunch of wins that way, and sort of as the day progresses, they'll run into stiffer and stiffer competition, and eventually it won't make it. But I think there'll be one, maybe two, maybe even three that sneak in.
That's interesting. I'll probably be one of those people who can't handle it. Because our meta seems to be unable to build competitive scum decks. And I say competitive because I feel like we've had a bunch of scum decks kind of circulate around our meta before, which have all done really well, but don't blow up objectives.
Yeah.
So, like, exactly. There might be people who are very willing to take that stance coming into this tournament, right? Where they're like, well, I'm always going to win with my dark side. I might not win the tiebreaker, but I'm always going to win with my dark side.
Yep, that's certainly a possibility.
I'm reconsidering decks now, Tiny, now that I said it out loud.
Oh, really? Wow. I wouldn't have said that live on the stream. Now everyone knows you're playing scum.
Yep, I'm like,
no, now I'm thinking about playing Scum. I'm
right, like, no, I think
our light side deck is amazing, and now we just have to go and I'm going to build a Scum deck that has only tactics icons in it and just win that way.
just control the force, and then have speeder decks get all their speeders and beat you quick.
Gotcha. Yeah, that seems like that would be a problem.
Seems like a good plan, Ben. Seems like
foiled again.
What do you think about speeder decks? Do you think we'll see, like, hardcore Haas speeder decks in the top 16?
I mean, so here's the thing. I imagine all of these decks may have some type of representation in the top 16. I think what we saw at Gen Con was a lot of people who had core deck ideas with some variety on them, right? Like, there were Smuggler's Protection decks that ran Echo's Caverns instead of Chewbacca. There were Smuggler's Protection decks that ran Yoda instead of Luke. Like, there were these types of
archetypes.
Flavors of a mechanic, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think there'll probably be some speeders on, in the top 16. What, if it's a true speeder deck, as in, like, you play everything that has the word Hoth in it, right? Like, Attack Pattern Delta, Pilot Luke, Hoth Operations. You include something like Sensors Are Placed, and maybe Prepare for Battle. Would we see something that has a combination of those objectives? Yeah, I'm pretty sure they will. The problem I've always had with a full speeder deck, right, is that it kind of loses to a full Hoth deck that's on the dark side, right? Because all of your things are turned off, and the individual pods aren't strong enough to hold up when your objectives are turned off.
Yeah, I could get behind that. I still think the way this game works, if you run hot with a speeder deck, you're going to win a lot of games by a wide margin.
Sure.
And I think someone is going to run hot enough with an all-Hoth speeder deck that they will make it. Whether that's me, I don't know. Whether that's someone else, I don't know. But I'm definitely considering an all-Hoth speeder deck.
Sure.
I feel like it's a little bit...
it's a gamble.
It's a little bit of a gamble.
You have to roll that hard 7 every time.
At KublaCon, I played a deck kind of like that. The gamble paid off pretty big time until the finals when it fell apart, and I still somehow won. But generally speaking, if the gamble pulls off, you do very well. On the flip side, I feel like the Sith Executor deck is the deck.
Let me ask you this question before we go. What percentage of people do you think will be running in their dark side deck the Executor pod along with some larger Sith deck that is part of their plan, either be it Palpatine Vader Killing Cold or Executor Vader's Fist Palpatine or some combination of that? What percentage of dark side decks do you think will have the Executor in it?
I'm guessing at least 50.
You think more than half of the dark side decks?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's just the obvious deck right now. I'm not going to say it's the unbeatable deck, but what I will say is if you can take Vader, Palpatine, Council of the Sith, which has been the shell all along, and add to it a near auto win condition if you can get it, that's a really hard deck to not run. Like, it's just a really good deck. You have draw, you have resources, you have big, massive, awesome characters. You have direct damage. You have everything you could possibly want in a deck. It's just hard to imagine a lot of people saying, do I want the deck that has everything, or do I want to try a different deck?
Sure. I mean, you were about to say, though, that you feel like very similar to the speeders. Like, if it's running hard and you keep getting that combo, or you keep seeing the right units, like the big units early, that deck is really strong. But I felt like there was a but there.
Yeah, I mean, there is a but in that it's inconsistent. The thing is, Council of the Sith makes it more consistent than Rebels. It's also more consistent with Rebels in that you don't have to draw all this stuff immediately. You have more time to deal with the board, whereas Rebels really have to get off and going quick or they're in some pretty serious trouble. If they say, well, I'll just take 3 turns to set up my Rebel deck, by the time they're set up, the board is littered with dudes, and they're just toasted. Whereas, on the flip side, I feel like the Sith has a little more margin for error. It has more draw. I just feel like that deck, while inconsistent, is more consistent than a Rebel deck.
Sure.
I can see that. I don't know. I mean, yeah, it's going to be an interesting. I'm excited to see how this is all going to shape out and fill out. Do you have any other predictions?
Let me see.
How about the affiliations that we haven't talked about?
Navy.
I was going to say Navy or Jedi.
There's got to be Walker decks. Like, I think there's going to be some pretty darn good, like, nearly straight Walker decks involving a lot of Hoth.
Hoth and fears.
Yeah, and that to me is one of the main fears in running a Rebel deck that's based on Hoth. It's like, are you going to hit a lot of the all-Navy Walker decks or not? If you do, do you have a really, really good game plan for them? Because if you don't, and all your stuff is turned off, it's going to be a long day.
Mm-hmm.
Another deck that I'm really wondering if we're going to see a reemergence of is the Desolation of Hoth. Because since you can put in some of these new Walker pods into that deck, it could be a viable deck.
You used to love that deck, man.
Oh, I love that deck so much for a short stretch. It was so good.
You're like, this is unbeatable.
It was Chinese, one of those decks where...
Chinese motto right there. This deck is unbeatable.
It was one of those decks, and I think we'll see some decks like this at Worlds, where the first time you see them, you don't really know what's happening, and they smash you. And, like, I won probably my first 20 games with that deck and streamed it until people saw it on the stream and just basically figured out exactly what it was doing. And then it was like, oh, well, it's a good deck, but it's not the top deck because you can just adjust and handle it. Kind of like the Sleuth decks the first time we saw them. So if someone can come up with a really cool deck like that, my prediction is that deck will go pretty far just based on the surprise factor alone.
Sure, I can see that happening. I mean, those two decks definitely did it. I was going to say, do you, with the Jedi affiliation, do you think there are going to be any kind of out of left field Jedi builds? I know we were kind of playing around with some Jedi weenie decks when we were doing our testing. Thoughts on Jedi weenie decks?
I think someone will play a Jedi weenie deck. I think it's just really hard if you're going to play Jedi to not play good Jedi. Like, it's just, at least it's hard for me to be like, okay, I'm going to build a Jedi deck, and I'm going to purposely not use Yoda, and I'm going to purposely not use Luke, because they're just really good pods, and I want to use terrible pods instead. Like, I have a hard time purposely choosing Godals and, I can't remember even the name of those gals who heal
up. Daughters of Valaya.
Yes, I have a hard time using them over straight-up good cards. But somebody will, and somebody will do it well. And I'll be happy to see that. And you know what we haven't mentioned? The Smuggler's Den decks. I think Smuggler's Den decks will still be around. I think it's quite possibly the best light side deck. It's more consistent than the Hoth Speeder decks, and it's still incredibly explosive. If you can go turn one Luke, turn two Falcon into Chewbacca, and then you're just looping Falcon, you just win.
Yeah, that is a really, really tough combination to overcome when you're the dark side.
Yeah, it almost doesn't matter what the dark side gets at that point. They get Palpatine, and you're like, okay, triple focus that Falcon. Nice job. Now I'll bounce it out, and I'll bring in a...
Han Solo.
A Han Solo or the Operative, and now Palpatine's triple focus. So you're locked down next turn, and next turn Luke will just target the strike and kill you. It just seems like there's so many things that can do. And there's so many different builds of it. You can throw Redemption in it. You can throw Yoda in it. You can throw Lando in that deck and just pull out Luke. It's just such a versatile, good deck. I think we'll see quite a bit of that deck.
Yeah, it's been one of those ones where asking some of the guys who don't play as frequently, mainly from our brother-sister meta. I don't know if I can call it a sister meta when it's mostly all guys down there in San Diego. Not all guys. Just in case any of the girls who are part of the meta are listening. When you talk to them, it's like, oh, what are you planning on running? Their response has been like, I'm just running Han, Chewie, Falcon. It's like, oh, okay, you are. Okay, so you think that's still a good deck to play at Worlds? And they're like, yeah, definitely. That's what I'm planning on playing. Like, okay. So the deck hasn't changed that much.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good deck. I mean, I'm really torn on the light side. I haven't found a deck that I've found to be incredibly consistent, and I think Hanchery Falcon is just an amazing combo. I think the speeders are an amazing combo. So what I'm probably going to do is play like a 20 objective 3 affiliation deck and just shoehorn them together.
A 20 card 3 affiliation deck, huh?
A 20 objective 3 affiliation.
Oh, good. Oh, that's good. I think that might work.
Yeah. I think I'll do well with that.
Just coming in from left field.
Probably wouldn't do well with that. It would probably also be an illegal deck.
Yeah, you never know.
So those are generally my predictions. I think light side has a little bit tougher time finding sort of an auto build. I feel like dark side, if you get up against a wall and you've done your testing and you're not really sure what to play, there's a deck just sort of holding up its hand going, hey, look over here. Look over at me. I'm really, really good. And so I think because of that, a lot of people are just going to kind of default to that and be like, well, I tried to find a better deck, but how do you find a better deck than the deck that does everything? Like, that's a pretty hard sell.
Yeah, that sounds about right. I mean, I think those are, I don't know if those are conservative predictions or if they're really out there. I'm just looking forward to it. I want to see what people have. I feel like a lot of the small individual metas that are out there that have, you know, very good card game players, you know, I think that there will be a pretty good group of people who show up with some very creative ideas.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to the next Matt Coles phenomenon, where we have a guy who sort of hasn't been around on the boards and is unknown and has a good little meta, and they just sort of pop up at Worlds, and whether they win it or not, or just, you know, get two guys in the top 8 or something, it'll be really cool to see, like, oh, wow, there was another meta off in North Dakota that I didn't even know existed. That's so cool. Welcome to, the bigger medium where now we know who you are. I think that'll be really fun.
Yeah, I think that would be cool, too.
So I already know there's a couple guys in Colorado that I'm friends with that are coming, and I'm hoping they do really well. And we've got the top-tier guys in Chicago, and hopefully they'll do really well. And so it should be a really fun event, I think.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be everyone from everywhere, so it's going to be good.
It must be time for a pod quiz, Ben.
I was going to say, no, this is not what it was. We have another thing that we were going to cover. We were going to talk about the announcement about store championships.
I suppose we can do that now.
And we were going to do a pod quiz because of the amount of dead space that happens in the similar as that transition right there for 15 seconds.
Yeah, I know. I just wanted to throw that out there anyway, just for fun.
And I don't know if I want to do a pod quiz today, considering that I feel like the whole plane ride tomorrow is just going to be one long pod quiz.
Yeah, I think so. Like, if you're planning to surprise Ben and I with weird pods, you should probably have a different plan, because we hopefully, after a 4-hour-long plane ride of just grilling each other, even the people in the seat ahead of us, they're going to know all the pods.
Yeah, they're going to hate us, the people sitting directly ahead of us.
That's our plan. If they don't hate us by the end, we have not done our job.
So what do you think about the store championship announcement from, I guess, yesterday at this point? So that would have been Monday.
I love it.
November 4th.
Absolutely love it. Anything to fill that dead space, because I was just talking to somebody the other day about how Worlds is rapidly approaching. Don't worry, after Worlds, I'll barely be playing these games anymore because they'll be all but dead. Because that's normally what happens after Worlds. No one has any interest in playing until a month before Regionals. And by doing this, they basically shut me up and said, no, that's not at all the case. We've got you. We hooked you. You're going to be playing all the way till Regionals too. That's exactly what I think they need to do.
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely a gap in the organized play that needed to be filled. I really like the prizes. I like the ideas behind it. I like the idea that these store championships will be, you know, can populate over a couple months and try and bring people in from around a certain area, but that based on the turnout for any one particular store championship will be what is used to determine who gets regionals.
I didn't even know that part.
Who gets regionals in the regional season, so that there aren't as many, like, oh, well, there are 4 regionals in L.A., so I'll just pick one of them to go to. It's only going to be the one regional in L.A., and so people will have to come in for it.
Oh, that's even more interesting. It's going to be based on turnout at these store events?
That's what the posting said, yeah.
That's a really great idea. This kind of freaks me out that FFG seems to have organized play coming together.
They had a great idea, and it's very cohesive. I'm also. This might be signs of the end days.
The apocalypse is upon us.
I feel like a sign like this, plus a Smuggler's Den win at Worlds, would definitely signal the. Those are two of the four horses of the apocalypse, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, all right. I'll go with that. But either way, I'm really excited. I think it's going to be a really cool idea. And if only they could get really cool prizes now on top of everything else, things would really be in business. So
I'm confused as to what you mean by really cool prizes. So you do not like the prizes that they have offered as part of this?
I think that's great. I think if we can somehow find a way to step this game up into a more legitimate prize zone, that might be a good thing. I know other people would say that would be a bad thing, so I'm not really going to go into that in detail. But
sure. I know there's definitely a feel amongst some of the long-standing, long-term LCG players of FFG is what they like about the game is that only the people who have a very high dedication and passion for the game are the people who sit around and play.
Exactly.
Right? Especially to play at a very high competitive level. And it's not like let's talk about games that are defunct so that I'm not offending as many people as I normally do when I say Magic. But it's not like WoW TCG. It's not like that's pretty much the only defunct one. But it's not like Pokemon. It's not like Yu-Gi-Oh! Where there are these huge prizes that, you know, bring people in. People who are, I don't want to say mean-spirited, but are competitively spirited, where it's all about winning. It's about crushing your opponent. It's about tweaking the rules in your favor. It's about, you know, et cetera, unsportsmanlike conduct. That you normally don't see in an LCG because the stakes are so much lower.
The sad thing is you do see that, and that's the sad thing that
huge events, right, where the big prize, right, and I think that's really what the tantalizing prize is for anybody playing these games, and the hope is the ability to make a card.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, that's when you see it. So when that is on the line, people start to get a little crazy, but when it's, you know, these store kits, which have mats in them and 32 copies of alternate art Han Solo.
Did you say 32 copies?
Yeah, they can host up to 32
awesome.
People. Yeah.
Wow, can't wait for that.
Four mats. The winner gets a custom card box that is only for the winner. The runner-up gets their own custom card box that is only. And also, as I mentioned to you last night, and you weren't aware of, but you get a buy in a regional of your choice if you get first place at the store championship.
That part's crazy.
Yeah.
That makes those events so valuable because I'm starting to think more and more that these world buys are just ultra critical. If you need to go 8-0 a bunch of times and you get a free 8-0, that's pretty amazing.
Right. Free 8-0 with a full-strength opponent.
Yep, that's a hard one to top.
Yeah, it's gonna be good, and you can use it for which you get to use it once, and you can use it whatever regional you go to.
Yeah, that'll be nice.
Pretty cool.
So Ben, I got a question for you.
Yeah.
What's in Greedo's pod?
Oh boy.
And you got to be quick because we can't have dead air.
Yeah, that's fine. So Greedo's in Greedo's pod. Did you know that?
Nope, he's actually not. It was a trick question.
That's a trick question. I was actually asking you about a different one. There's another Rodinian in there.
Yep.
He's like a neutral guy. There's a bounty.
There sure is a bounty. What's the stats on bounty?
Bounty is 0, and it has 1 force icon.
Sure does.
Okay. There's also a capture.
Mm-hmm.
There it is.
Sure is. What are the stats on capture?
Capture is 3... it has 2 force icons?
Yep, sure does.
Oh my god, look at that. And then I think there's a heat of battle.
There's actually 2 paid informants, the Rodinian guys.
Close enough.
Yep, that was good. Good job, man.
Thank you.
So we just learned we don't have to quiz you at all on the plane and just quiz me.
Nope, that's not how this is going to work.
Oh, that's not how that works.
I liked how we were definitely doing it last week at the store during our regular game night. All we did was get through the Jedi.
Yep.
Objectives, and we were going, wait, that card exists?
Yes.
How many force icons that one has?
Yeah. It was kind of scary, to be honest.
Yeah, you definitely were like, I'm going to lose now because I have lost my edge. Just so everybody knows in terms of testing, Tiny got in and was very helpful at the beginning of the SoCal Star Wars testing. And then he decided that he was going to try Game of Thrones. And so it was like, he did Game of Thrones for 3 weeks. And was like, I'm not doing Game of Thrones at Worlds. I don't have a deck. I'm terrible at this game. But then somebody just gave him a little bit of a thread, and he's been climbing that thread for a while. So then for the last, I would say, 4 weeks, Tiny's only been, almost only been doing Game of Thrones. So last week he sat down and was like, I'm ready to do Star Wars. And was just completely overwhelmed by how terrible, terrible he did, because he's all thrones in the brain right now.
I would say that's an exaggeration. But definitely I wasn't as dialed in as I would like to be. So hopefully before the event we'll get a couple games in and I can get back to my top level gaming. So we'll see.
So really what I'm trying to tell everybody is don't look out for Tiny. He's really kind of our rabbit in this one. He's a decoy. You best be watching out for Neil and myself. Neil the real deal.
Yeah, my new goal is to not top 16 in Thrones and Star Wars, apparently.
Oh, there you go.
But if they have Soul Forge at the event, I probably wouldn't top 16 in that either, because I'm spreading myself completely thin on many games. Not the way to do it, by
I don't think they'll have Soulforge there.
You don't think so?
No, I don't think so.
Interesting. I thought for sure it would be there.
All right. That covers a lot of what we were going to do for this pre-Worlds episode.
Sure does. Look forward to seeing all of you at Worlds. Can't wait to see you. If you see me, come up and say hi. Nothing I enjoy more than talking to fellow Star Wars players, so don't be shy. Don't feel like I'm going to think it's weird that you're talking to me. I love talking to people. That's what I do. So come up and say hi, and I look forward to meeting everyone.
And with that, I'd like to caveat that I, too, like people, and I like talking to people. I'm also very awkward the first time somebody comes up and talks to me.
That's not true at all. What are you talking
about? I'm 100%. Yes, that is 100% true. Huh. So if the first time you come up and it looks like I'm like a little like, you know, busy or mentally distracted, I probably am. But it's only because I'm really awkward the first time I meet somebody. Come find me after I've had a beer, and it'll be completely different. It just is the way I work a lot of the times. Huh. I could fake it. I'm going to try and fake it. I'm going to dial it in there. I'm going to fake it till I make it. But no guarantees that on Thursday, an hour before the event, that I'm going to be like, yeah, come talk to me. I'm going to be like, back off. Sit down. I need to do this thing over here.
That's interesting. So apparently the word is, Ben might murder you if you try to talk to him, but
nope,
I won't say that. Don't worry about it. I won't. So just talk to me.
Also, I think it's going to be interesting because a lot of people don't know what we look like.
Yeah.
So people have to guess.
I'm Tiny Grimes. Therefore, you should easily be able to figure out what I would look like based on my nickname.
I think I've heard a very large number of people describe what they think you look like and been completely wrong.
Yes, I've never heard anyone guess correctly what I look like. So that's what you should think about. You should be like, what do I think Tiny looks like? The exact opposite of that is what he looks like.
Probably.
So then you'll be in business.
Yeah, sounds about right.
All right, guys. Well, we look forward to seeing you all. And until next time,
may the force be with you.